Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the BPD Bunch Brunch, where we get together with our favorite brunchy beverages to catch up, play games, and talk about all things BPD. I am your host, Sani, and today I am here with Mo, and we are going to be interviewing Andrea and special guest, her daughter, Devi. Where in the world is everyone coming from, and what is your brunchy beverage for the day? I am in New Mexico in the U.S., and I have orange juice.
We're in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm drinking coffee.
I'm drinking the Starbs.
I'm from Central Ohio in the U.S., and I'm just drinking French vanilla cappuccino.
I'm really excited today. We are interviewing Andrea and Devi about their relationship. Andrea, as our audience may know, has BPD, and she had her daughter very young. Can you share with us a little bit about your journey with BPD and how it's affected your relationship over the years?
I found out when I was a teenager. I had just had her, and I just didn't really care at the time that I found out because I was just really young. I had her when I was 16. I didn't really think anything negatively about my behavior until my late 20s. I was like, okay, so maybe everybody doesn't act like this. I think that she got to see like a lot of, actually, I know she got to see a lot of the episodes, and a lot of the emotions were maybe targeted towards her without me even realizing that I was being that way, or she just saw me acting out. So it wasn't until my early to mid 30s that I started to go into therapy. That was what really changed the course of everything.
So Devi, as a child of a parent with BPD, what was your experience like growing up?
I think that I didn't really realize that it was much different from other people until I was getting to like middle school, high school time, just because I didn't really go over to a lot of people's houses. So I wasn't really encountering other adults and how they interacted with each other. So I was always kind of used to like the ebbs and flows of her emotions. So I kind of didn't realize that that didn't really happen in other households until later on. And I think that also stems from me being an only child, because I didn't see interactions between her and other kids. It was just her and me. So it's definitely a very like direct line of emotion.
Devi, can you talk about the challenges you faced in maintaining a relationship with your mom with her struggles with BPD, and how did you manage to overcome them?
I would say I think within childhood, it was a little bit more like I was always trying to kind of make her feel better. Whenever she was in a bad mood or whenever she was sad, I felt like it was kind of like my responsibility to help her feel better. And it wasn't always that she would put that on me, but it felt like an obligation because it was just us two. So it was kind of like if I didn't do anything, then it would stay that way. Or if I kind of reacted a certain way whenever she was in like a down mood, it would be emphasized whenever I would do something that was maybe a little bit obnoxious or a little annoying because she was just more sensitive to it. And I think like looking back at it now, it's like, well, it's just because she was in a heightened state of emotion. But being younger, I was kind of just like, okay, like, what do I do? You know, kind of tippy-toeing because I didn't want to like I didn't want to set it off. And not to say that she was always aggressive or always like over the top. It was just kind of like, I didn't want it to get to that point.
Having more conversations with her about, you know, and just like listening to things that she experienced, I think it's definitely like the definition of walking on eggshells. I think about her being little DB, like elementary school. Like if I'm kind of going through a moment and maybe she wasn't responding to me a certain way, I'd be like, well, you don't care. Like you don't love me, you know? And I can't imagine what that must have been like for her as a little kid, you know?
I think that that definitely added to the responsibility of, I felt like I had to prove myself. I felt like I had to kind of show her like, no, I do love you. Like I would never abandon you. Like I would never want you to feel this way or feel like I didn't care about you. So it reinforced the behavior of like seeking her approval, you know, seeking like, you know, like maybe I did clean, but it wasn't like up to par. So the next time that I would clean, then I would try to do it every little detail, everything that I could think of that she would look at. I would try to do it as good as I could. That way she would be satisfied. And I didn't really look at it as stress until later, I guess.
When you say until later, what does that, like, how did that come up later?
I would say more like high school age. That was whenever I started getting like more independent. I was riding the VIA bus to school. I had a lot of alone time in between getting like leaving home and getting to school. I had like this moment, right? And it would be the same thing after school whenever I'd be on my way home or on my way to my job, whatever it was. So it would be a lot of like, in a way, like, and I don't mean this in an ugly way, but it would be kind of like peaceful because I'd be like alone. So I wouldn't have to worry about anything except for doing the things that I needed to get done. I think seeing the contrast of like being in my head and being in my own space versus being in like a mode where I'm trying to influence or bounce off of her emotions is kind of like, there's more clarity there.
So Andrea, how are you feeling like hearing her responses? Like, do you feel guilt, shame, like, what's going on?
I have always said I will never know what it was like to be raised by me. I had my own problems with my mom, but I do feel like words hurt more, you know? So, and I know that there's just been like a lot of exchanging of like, well, not exchanging, one side, of just things that would just fly out of my mouth, you know? So hearing her answers as an adult, I don't want to say they're hurtful. I think that it's just the truth.
They hit.
Yeah, it's just the truth. I don't know how else to say it other than that. I mean, do I feel bad? Like, I always feel bad, but I've been offered, you know, the grace by her to forgive myself and be reminded that, like, we're okay now. Let's just go forward.
So, DV, is there any point in time at which you recognized, like, that your mom had BPD or it was like a mental health challenge? And how did that, you know, make certain connections for you?
I think like once I was like more like a mid to late teenager, I definitely was more aware of like certain emotional disorders, I guess you could say. What I remember being more familiar with that she had referred to was like explosive anger disorder and bipolar. I did not remember borderline at all. That she had referred to. I didn't know that she knew that that was something that was a possibility that she had whenever she was a teenager. So I will say, like, to be completely honest, and I've told her this before too, that it made me actually kind of mad that she knew. Because if she had done something about it at that point, then we would have been able to work through it. And I wouldn't have had like that feeling of like, is this my fault? You know? Then it would be more like, this is what's going on in her head. It's not me, right? But yeah, I think like once she started like working on it later on, it was like, oh, okay, cool. Like she's doing stuff about it. That's cool. And I would say like the only thing that was kind of like tricky about it was that she would still go back and forth. You know, she would be going to counseling, going like to therapy, getting medication, but she would still have like moments that were a little bit intense to say the least. So That was a little confusing, but I think that that's an important thing to acknowledge, because it just really shows the reality that, like, you don't just get cured. Like, you have to work. Like, you have to be consistent, and you have to understand that it's all a process, and it's not one that's going to end. It's one that you have to keep on doing.
So just one thing I want to clarify for our audience is that at the time when Andrew was diagnosed with BPD, the most prominent prognosis amongst professionals was, this is not curable. There's nothing you can really do about it. So, you know, good luck.
That was over 24 years ago.
I had her 1999. This is the 90s, guys.
Yeah. And I think, like, saying it, it's like, I'm aware of that, but they don't realize that she had me whenever it was, like, pre-millennium. So.
All right. So this is for DV. Did you have a good support system for when you were growing up and your mom was struggling?
I will say that I was fortunate to be very close to my dad's side of the family. Not to say that I wasn't close to my uncle and aunt on her side, but my dad's siblings were just significantly younger. So they were almost like siblings. So as far as support goes, I don't know if they were necessarily direct support, but it was more like a getaway. It was more like, these are people that I can spend time with, and these are people that I can have a good time with, and I don't have to worry about how I'm going to make them feel. I think that that was very important, because it showed me how people are, you know. It showed me that it's not all, like, you know, like tippy-toeing. It can be good. And I think that that's also what made me appreciate spending time with her, because it's like, I know that she's not like that 100% of the time. Like, I know that I can have good times with her. So it was definitely a good thing to distinguish between how they were and how she was, I guess.
So DV, I know that you lost your dad early. How do you feel like that affected the dynamic with your mom and how you responded to things growing up?
I would say that losing him made me appreciate having her. So even whenever she would be the way that she was, I knew that she was my mom. Like, she was my parent. And I knew what it was to not have. And I never wanted to feel like, I guess, like that the relationship couldn't be repaired. And I guess, I think that that's actually probably why I was more influenced to kind of make things better, or like be more willing to repair and be more willing to move on and not like hold grudges, because I know how temporary life is, and I know that it can be taken away now.
Yeah, Deviana had just turned 5 when that happened. So when I hear the way she talks about that, I've been able to think like, oh, okay, so that's how you understand things. And I see it in the way that she talks about maybe like other people, like, you know, she really does appreciate life like as it is right now. But thinking about her being 5, I'm like, that's such a young age to experience that.
DV, did you ever find it hard to forgive your mom? And if so, how did you move past that?
Yes, I did find it hard to forgive her at times. It also was difficult because I dismissed my own feelings. I didn't address them. I just internalized and then tried to move on. And there was times where I was a very angry teenager, and I was breaking things, like, not that she knew of, but like I was like breaking mirrors, like I was punching them. Like, I was okay with getting hurt. And I didn't really see that as a problem, but like, you know, looking back and reflecting, it's like, that was my pent up anger, you know? So it took her efforts to make me forgive, because if she hadn't had the remorse, if she hadn't made the difference, then I wouldn't have been able to at all.
So, DV, you've talked a little bit about sort of the people pleasing and feeling like you needed to accommodate your mom. How did the two of you sort of move beyond that to a place where you are able to, you know, for example, be on an episode like this, where you're sharing how you actually felt about things? How did you get from there to here?
I think personally, I had a really big emphasis on independence. So to start off, it was more like I was spending a lot of time at work and I was getting as many hours as I could. Whenever I was starting to get older and I was able to do like more full-time hours, more like overtime, whatever I could do. Like there was a point where I had 3 jobs and I was okay with that. Like, I was like, you know, like that's where my time is going. That's my mission. I'm going to make the money and I'm going to do the things that I want to do. And I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to be financially independent. I'm not going to rely on her. She can't hold anything over my head. And, now I've been financially independent for a long time, and I feel like being more independent has really helped because it's kind of like put a separation. Like anytime you spend too much time with someone, like there's bound to be problems. But whenever we had like distance between each other, we were able to have like a better time, I feel like.
Yeah.
And like it was like special and it was exciting like to just hang out and be comfortable versus like opening the door to kind of like consistent irritation or whatever it might be because of just regular everyday life.
Yeah, because we're really different.
Yeah, we're super different. I can have my energy levels are very high, very consistently. And my mom can only handle that for so long.
Like she's talking about financially independent and wanting to do all the things in high school, but she's always been independent. Like I saw that in her at a very small age. She would always just kind of do things that I'm just like, why do you have to do this? Like, it's like climbing to the top of a tree, you know, maybe a little too high than for my taste. She was just always fearless. And that's how I saw her. So once it came to the point where she was making her own money, yeah, I that was kind of scary for me because it's just like, I want her to be here with me regardless of the drama. So it wasn't until she officially left and that we would hang out that I was like, oh, this is a good idea. Like, we don't fight anymore. And it's not like we would fight about like crazy things. We would just, I'm very particular and she's not. And that would like cause arguments.
I'm more of a good enough person. Like, I don't need it to be perfect unless it's, like, something I'm actually working on or art or something.
We're
like,
talking about organization.
Yeah.
So, just as a follow-up, Andrea, what specific strategies do you feel like you've employed, you know, sort of since going through treatment to be able to hold space for some of the things that you might not like to hear?
I would not be able to do that without DBT. I just wouldn't have been able to do it because there was just so much going on. So it's just kind of like everything went, like it was smooth, dramatic, and I was getting help, but I wasn't really getting the help I needed. And then huge train wreck. It was just a huge mess. And then hospital stay and DBT showed up. Oh, yeah. So then I started doing DBT. And then I kind of started seeing like how I respond to things, you know, because DBT has a way of like helping you kind of see things from a different lens. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to hold space the way that I'm able to hold space now if it wasn't for that, for learning how to manage my emotions and the skills learning and all that. I had a mini episode the other day. So it still happens. It's still something that I struggle with, but it's much further in between than what it used to be.
I would say, I think it's important to notice that, like for the child of someone that has BPD that struggles with it, that it doesn't necessarily get easier, or no, it doesn't necessarily get harder, but like you start working towards it, right? Like kind of adjust and like think about it from their perspective. So like whenever she was having like the little moment the other day, my first thought now is, okay, what's the deeper issue? Like, I don't think that she actually believes this, but what is causing her to believe this? And I think that like growing up with someone who struggles with BPD, you start to kind of learn like what it is that causes these root issues or like what the root issues are that cause these responses. So like in that moment, it was her like fearing abandonment and fearing that I didn't care. But me being older now, I've kind of been able to pull myself out of it. Like, don't take it so personally. This is really why she's upset, you know?
DV, how do you find a balance between supporting your mom and also setting boundaries for yourself so that, you know, you're not continuing on the cycle of, like, accommodating her so that, you know, like, you don't want to...
I will say that my partner has definitely helped me with that because he comes, because he's come from like a very like emotionally stable family, like not like overly emotional or anything. So having my partner view it like from an outside perspective, it actually kind of, it was so much more extreme from like the outside that he realized like I need to kind of help her set her foot down, you know, like, don't do that. Like, you don't have to, you know?
It's funny because we get a lot of quotes from you secondhand through Andrea. Like, on the parenting episode, I think one of the things that she said that you said to her, which that I thought was gold, I mean, harsh, but gold, was just because you say you're sorry doesn't mean it didn't affect me.
Yes. Yeah. It's brutal. No face.
As far as that particular quote, I don't remember what we were talking about, but I know I was just going on a rampage. And yeah, she said that to me, and it really just kept me quiet. And I want to say it's what ended our phone conversation, where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I will let you go.
I think in that same conversation, actually, I said something along the lines of like, I accept your apology, but the way that you feel about what you did to me is not my responsibility. I think that was in the same conversation. And that took me a long time to be able to say, but it's also come from like, in a way, like not to be harsh, but like from being kind of fed up. But it's just because it's like, I spent so long, like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I care about you. But it's like, no, like, you don't get it. I've already told you so many times.
I'm sorry.
I love this, though. This is so, well, because, like, it seems counterintuitive because if you want to make someone happy, you're, like, trying to accommodate them. But oftentimes it is actually setting that boundary that helps them the most.
Yes.
Yeah, when she started setting boundaries, it would piss me off, but because I wasn't used to it, so I didn't know what was going on. But see, I'm telling you, DBT helped me with this. So seeing her start doing that, you know, because in DBT we talk about boundaries as well. And so I was like, okay, she's upset. I'm upsetting her. I'm making her anxious. Maybe I should leave her alone, but I don't want to leave her alone because my emotions are really heightened. So it was a really huge struggle. It's not as much of a struggle now, but when she started doing it, it was really difficult for me to understand. But it's good now.
Yeah, it took a minute.
So 20 years.
So Andrea, you were talking about like she would set her boundaries, but you were like emotionally heightened or whatever. So how did you distract yourself from the fact that you were having high emotions and you couldn't rely on her because she had set her boundary? What did you do?
The hard part was I would convince myself that nobody cared. I would just convince myself of that. Like, you know what? She just doesn't care and she doesn't love me. And that was a lie. And eventually she kind of would tell me like, I forgot. There's something that she says about whether or not if it's the truth.
Well, like, and that came from her therapy, the stick to the facts part.
That's what she said.
Yeah. So whenever she told me that, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's really touch on that right now.
Reverse it.
Yeah.
She'd say, like, let's stick to the facts. And I'd be, she's like, yeah, that's not true. And I'd be like, okay, you never said that's true. You never did say that.
Yeah. It would go, like, exactly like that.
But, yeah, it was a struggle. And I'm not saying that it's not still a struggle. Like I said, the other day I had, like, a little moment. But I knew that I was having a moment. It used to be where I didn't know I was having a moment. I was just flipping out. But now I can, like, okay, I am having the moment. This is, I even told you.
You can feel it.
Yeah, I even told her. I'm like, I just need to be left alone. Like, you know, and she, another quote that we always say.
Oh, yes. I was just going to bring that up. It's so good.
It's from Mommy Dearest. I'm sorry.
You didn't even have to quote it. You didn't have to.
She told me, are you mad at the dirt? Because there's a scene in the film where, and it's funny because it's about cleaning. And, you know, she moves a pot over and she was like, you know, talking about the dirt on the floor. And then she tells her housekeeper, she's like, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt. So that's something that we say between each other. She'll be like, are you mad at me? Or are you mad at the dirt? And, or I'll say it first. It's not you. It's the dirt.
And it really helps. It actually really helps because how we were talking about like the personal responsibility, it helps make me remember it's not me, it's the dirt. It's like psychologically, it's really helped me.
I love that so much. DV, how has witnessing your mom's recovery journey impacted your own understanding of mental health in general and like self-care?
So just that it's important. Like mental health is real. The struggles that people go through are real. I think there's like a stigma that mental health is like all in your head. It's not. I've witnessed it. You know, as many times as she's had her extreme negatives, as soon as it's over, she comes to, I would say, and she has remorse. And I think that really makes a difference because I think whenever you have true remorse like that, you wouldn't behave like that if you had the control. And that's always kind of what's kept me around. Like, not to say that I would just abandon her, but it's what's kept me around because I know that she doesn't want to behave that way. It can be very frustrating on the outside. And I think it's important for people that are around others that struggle with BPD and are growing up with family members that are. I think it's important to understand that it's okay to be annoyed. And it's okay to not accept it sometimes. But at the end of the day, like these people, like most of the time, obviously there's people that are butts, but most of the time, they don't want to be that way. And that's really important. Cause it kind of like, it gives you more clarity and like understanding that they would treat you better if they had the means, which is why it is important going back again to go to treatment and get treatment to get you the tools to interact properly.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I know that we talked a lot about, like, well, she's mentioned a lot about the word abandonment, you know, and worried about abandoning me. At 41 now, I can honestly say that she's never abandoned me, like, ever. Out of all the times I ever thought that she did, she never really did. And I can see that now. Deviana treats me like the best. Like, she's really, really good to me.
So, Andrea, what would you say to someone who feels discouraged or hopeless about repairing their familial relationships due to BPD?
Ah, It is so possible to repair. There is forgiveness, but don't just assume that because they forgive that they forget. There's still, you know, there's still some stuff there. Give them opportunity to either talk to you about it or to talk to someone about it. But there's definitely room for repair, but you have to be willing to do the work. It's not just going to come to you. And I will say, especially the last couple of years, I've put in a lot of work because a lot of the times I didn't want to do it. You know, I was just like, I don't want to be able, I don't want to be this person that has to do these things to be better. I just want to be better. But no, it does take work and they are repairable. You have to be open and willing to hear the truth about everything. And I think when you can accept the truth about yourself and the truth about the things that you've that have happened between you and your child that may have affected them, I think that's where the healing starts.
DV, what message do you hope to convey to others who may have been in similar situations? And what do you want people's main takeaway to be from your story?
Well, I would say that I think as a child of a parent with BPD, I'm an adult now and I'm almost 25. It took me a long time to get to this point, like where we could be cool. So going back to what she said, you know, it's really important to be receptive to your kids and the damage that you've done. It's like she said, you can forgive and you can be forgiven, but it doesn't mean that it takes away the damage. So if you have your child coming to you and saying, you know, you hurt me later on, if you push that away, if you turn it down, if you dismiss it, it's going to negatively impact your relationship with that kid because that child is not going to trust you and not going to want to come to you. As far as like my perspective and in my opinion to other kids that are dealing with it, it can get better, but you do need patience and you need to know that it's not your fault. You need to know that there is possibility of working it out. There's like a really big trend of kind of like leaving your parents like in the dust because of damage that they've inflicted. And I think obviously there's cases where that's like something that you need to do, but it's not always better to leave the situation. Sometimes it's better to work through it and work it out. That way you can repair that relationship.
Yeah, sounds like mutual effort is the key there, right?
Very importante, yes.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's interesting because she, you know, experienced things with people and her friends and stuff, and she would come to me with these things. So I always thought we were really close. What I didn't realize was that she wasn't coming to me about the problems between me and her. And I think that even if she did, I think that there was definitely a period of time where I was probably really dismissive. So it wasn't until just recently, several years ago, that I was like, oh, so we're not that cool. But, you know, we worked through it and we talked about it and stuff like that. So we're actually close now. But I had a misunderstanding. I thought we were okay.
And we were, generally, like we were, but I couldn't be 100%. I couldn't be, as you say, the authentic self. I could not at all.
Yeah.
So we were cool, but it was only like surface level.
Yeah.
So this is just a fun, silly question, but I just wanted to ask, Andrea and Devi, what are some of your favorite parts of your relationship with each other?
I don't know why I'm laughing. I'll let you answer.
I don't know. I think we're pretty weird. we're pretty strange and we laugh at weird things. There's a lot of run-on jokes, especially from like Ren and Stimpy.
Well, I was going to say Ren and Stimpy, but I was like,
I don't really want to imitate that one because it's really ugly. You know, I think because she was young, like I grew up hanging out with her too. You know, like it wasn't all bad or anything, but we grew up hanging out. We grew up like choosing DVDs to watch whenever I was younger and she was like cooking dinner. Like, there's a lot. So now I think we just kind of like are strange.
Yeah, I really like going to shows with her. Like,
Oh, yeah, like concerts.
Yeah. I mean...
Music is very important.
It is very important. I prefer to go to shows with her. I mean, not that I have all these people to choose from, but it's... I like going to shows with her. She just really appreciates it, I think, just as deeply, if not more, than I do. And I get really jealous if she goes without me.
It's true.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Any last thoughts from anyone?
I don't know if I have any thoughts other than just saying thank you to both of you for, like, being willing to do this show.
Yeah.
Like, I've been saying it for, like, at least the past season, like, oh my God, I want to hear from Andrea's daughter and, like, hear about her experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was interesting. And I think whenever it comes to, you know, certain emotional situations, I think the easiest way to help is to talk about personal experience. Because whenever you're hearing from it and just talking about it, whenever you've lived through it, it really helps.
There's a lot of emotions here, good, bad, beautiful, ugly, everything. And to be able, because she's not a relationship, like she's not, you know, a boyfriend, she's not just a sister or a brother, like she's my daughter. So knowing and hearing what I've put her through, even though I always knew in the back of my head it was coming, you know, it definitely, hurtful or not, it's helpful for me to know how much I've gotten better, what I've grown from, and things that I don't ever want to do to her ever again. Like, I don't ever want to hurt her. And sometimes the BPD part can be hurtful.
Oh. Thank you everyone so much for watching. We hope you got a nugget of wisdom to take with you on your journey. Make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so you do not miss a single episode. Thank you, Andrea and Devi, for coming to talk about your relationship. It was really meaningful that you could be so open and honest with our audience. And with that, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Toots.
The end. Toots.